Of the book of Proverbs, and Solomon wrote many, many Proverbs, over 2,000 Proverbs, and he wrote them to give instruction, and oddly enough, some of his Proverbs were not only instructional, but prophetical, and we're going to look at one of those prophetical Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter number 30, and when you found Proverbs chapter number 30, say amen, and we'll know that you're there, Proverbs chapter number 30, and we're going to start in verse number 11. You know, you think about the condition of the world, and you think about what's happening in society, and you're thinking, how in the world do we get to the place where we are at? But you know, it's no surprise to God that we're at, because we're living in the last days. And we're seeing these things played out in front of us. And what Solomon penned down some 2,800 years ago is as fresh as this morning's newspaper. Amen. And instructional. And I'll read some things. And it's just amazing where we're at. And you know, and you look at things. So if you found it, say amen. I know you're there. Amen. All right, Proverbs 30 and verse number 11. Proverbs 30 and verse number 11, it says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Boy, are we living in that generation. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. I mean, people today, they think nothing they do is wrong. There's a generation, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyes are lifted up. A proud generation. And it says, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. A violent generation. And what I'm going to preach on this morning out of these four verses, I'm going to preach on this thought, this generation. You see, folks, we're living in this generation. And we're seeing it played out on a daily basis. And every time I think it can't get any worse, it just continues to get worse. We're living a day when 11 and 12 year olds are now murderers. We never thought we'd live in a day when 11 and 12 year olds are vicious murderers. And they kill without any care for the one that they're killing. And to themselves, they think, well, what have I done wrong? God help us, 11 and 12 year olds. And boy, I'm thinking, if we're ever living in this generation, this is the generation that we're living in. And we're going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're living in troublous times. And it's only going to get worse. You say, what's the hope? The hope is to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Amen. The darker it gets, the brighter our light's going to shine. And can I tell you, people are going to notice the light from the darkness. There's no doubt about that. When there's a light out there in the dark, you see where the light's shining. And that's good and bad, to the sense that we will become easy targets in the future for those who want to attack the faith in Jesus Christ. So let's pray and let's ask for God's help and grace. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning as we preach on this generation. And we know we're living in an untoward generation. We know we're living in an evil day and an evil generation. And Father, it's sad that children have become our oppressors, and that children have become so violent in the day in which we live. And our society from top to bottom has become violent. And because we're living in the last days, and we're living in the days of Noah, and we know that we are. And Father, I pray as we preach this morning that we would know, Lord, what we're supposed to do as we navigate these troubled waters. Bless the word and help me to bring it. Speak to every heart. If there's one that's lost and undone in their sin, may today be the day of salvation. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning to preach on this thought of this generation. In the text, the characterization of the final generation is not good. There's no doubt about that. There's nothing good about those four verses that I read when it comes to the final generation that's going to be on this planet. And you know, you think about that. This generation's bad, but think about what's going to happen when the rapture takes place and every Christian goes up, and those that are left behind, what's going to happen? You talk about being violent. You talk about being dangerous. You talk about death on every hand. Boy, people are going to have it. Every show they've ever showed on TV about the apocalypse and the end time, it's going to be a reality. I'm just glad as a child of God we're going up. But that doesn't mean it's not going to get bad before we go up. I mean, we're seeing it. This generation is going to see the coming of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we always said that, again, generations in the Bible. We know for Israel and the nation of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, a generation was 40 years. And because God killed all the adults of that generation because they rebelled against God. And a generation was 40 years. We understand that. And then God said that he would number man's days. He'd give them 70, which is 70, if by reason of strength, 80. That's 80 years. And we said a generation could be 70 years. But the principle of first mention is given in Genesis, where God said, man's day shall be 120 years. And I'll tell you, from 1948 to 2068, we know that Jesus Christ is coming. Amen. And it'll be in that time period. It'll be in our lifetime. It's something we're going to see. And boy, are we seeing it. You say, what's the barometer? Keep your eyes on Israel. Amen. Keep your eyes on Russia and China. The Bible foretold that Russia and China would be world powers in the last day and would come against Israel. And they are. World War III is on the brink. And it's closer than any of us can possibly imagine. When Russia said this last week, no more warning shots, we will be firing on any enemy vessel in our waters in the Black Sea. And I guarantee you Putin meant it. Who's going to stand up to Vladimir Putin? Is Joe Biden going to stand up to Vladimir Putin? I don't think so. Is the guy over there in England going to stand up to Vladimir Putin? I mean, they did send their guided missile destroyer, and that is what the warning shots were fired on, and the bombs were dropped in front of it. And they put, England on notice. Don't you send another ship into our waters. Boy, we're living in troublous times. And we're going to see these things. Matthew 24, Jesus said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, we know Jesus Christ is coming. We just don't know the day and the hour. But do we know the times and seasons? Oh, we are living in the times and seasons. And I got excited when President Trump moved the embassy to Jerusalem, because that is essential, because that is where the Antichrist will rule from Jerusalem, from the temple that they're going to build on the Temple Mount. You say the wheels are in motion. Yes, they are. We sang that song, Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. And that should motivate us to want to be more busy than we've ever been. That should motivate us to want to bring people to Christ. That should motivate us to have care for souls of those who we love and those who are around us. You know, it's easy to make the comparison of the generation, the text. From Proverbs 30 to the generation of the day. It's an easy comparison to make. And we say, if the shoe fits, wear it. And I got four little things we make a comparison this morning. We know when it comes to this thing, the last generation is a cursed generation. A cursed generation. If you'll look with me and keep your finger, because we're coming back to Proverbs. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul, he writes to Timothy about the condition of the last days and what it'll be like before Jesus Christ comes. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, he says this know also that in the last days, perilous, and I mean perilous times shall come. Is the world in peril? I mean, I would hate to live in Portland, Oregon. Think about that for a minute. I would hate to live in Minneapolis. I would hate to live on the southern border of America right now. There are a lot of places I would hate to live. You say, why? Because they're in peril there. I'd hate to live in Los Angeles or San Diego or some of these places. There's a homeless man and moved into these people's house and took up squattership and said, this is my house now and you can't put me out. You know what the local authority said in California? You can't put him out. Can you imagine you go to the grocery store and you come back home and someone's in your house and they're telling you that it's their house now, and now the government, the local authorities are telling you that you can't move them and you can't live there anymore? Coming to a town near you. You know what happens in California eventually happens in the whole nation. I mean, there'll come a time when people will be afraid to leave their house. I was just shaking my head when I saw that in the news. That you've got to be kidding me. But this is what's happening, folks. I mean, they're finding business owners. They're saying you can't remove them from your business. You can't remove them from your front door. You can't. I mean, we will fine the heck out of it. And I'm just thinking, what is happening to our nation? Perilous times. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Boy, that's the generation we live in. Without natural affection, choose truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, you know that'll never happen to people in authority, like Nancy Pelosi, because she has 6 or 12-foot walls with armed guards and electric fences. But yet they'll tell you that you can't defend your home. Talk about hypocrisy. I mean, my goodness. Hypocrisy. Look in 2 Peter. You're right there. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And I said it's a cursed generation. And Peter said it was a cursed generation. And 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10, he says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, despise governments, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities, whereas angels, which are great in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these natural brute beasts, made to be taken to destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots are they, blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." It's a cursed generation. And I'm telling you, we brought this stuff on ourselves. Hey, we're not supposed to speak evil of the ruler of our people. But even Christian people, I mean, the things they say about those who are in authority, about the president, the vice president. A man said this week that Kamala Harris is a streetwalker, a harlot. And she may be, but that's not something we should be saying. She's the vice president of the United States of America. And see, you got to be careful. I mean, angels don't even bring a railing accusation against the devil. It's easy to get caught up in the mess, isn't it? It's easy to lose your dignity and your respect and your common decency. All you got to do is listen to any one of the cable news outlets. And it doesn't matter if it's Fox News, MSNBC, or CNBC, or whatever it is, CNN. You got to be careful when you're bringing a railing accusation. Remember, angels don't do that. You see what's happened? Hey, respect is broken down in our society from the top all the way to the bottom. And there was a time when Christian people had more dignity than to get out in the mud with everybody else. Oh, we got to be careful about that kind of thing. But see, it's a cursed generation and we're living in it. And like it or not, the dirt's rubbing off on all of us. You say, is the dirt rubbing off? You know it's rubbing off. When we can tell jokes, I mean terrible jokes about the president and the vice president and everybody else in charge, about our governors and about, I mean, God help us when there's no respect anymore. We want the federal government to respect the church, but the church doesn't respect the federal government. We need to be praying. And we need to know their names. Hey, we don't like their policies, but we need to know their names. I liked what the brother said, David Gibbs said this week. He said a preacher went and talked to Nancy Pelosi and said, "Miss Pelosi, I don't like your policies and we couldn't agree on anything, but I pray for you daily and I love you." You know what she said? "No one has ever told me that." She's one of the most hated women in America besides Hillary Clinton. But the preacher said, "I love you and I'm praying for you." She says she was stunned and set back by that pronouncement. Are we not supposed to love our enemies and pray for them that persecute us and despitefully use us? Hey, we're living in a cursed generation, but the filth is rubbed off on us. I mean, verse 11, it's a furious generation. Back in our text in Proverbs chapter number 30, it says there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. I mean, an angry, hateful generation. How do we get that way? No father, no mother, and no love in the home. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean, you look at someone wrong, they want to kill you. I mean, we know the Bible says anger rests in the bosom of a fool. And this generation is one angry generation. Every day they fight and kill each other. And they do it with no remorse. Did you see the video? That guy chased down another young man. One young man chased down another young man and killed and shot him 4 or 5 times right with the kids right there. 2 little children right there. And he had to trample little children and use them as human shields. Talk about no love. Who would take a child and use them as a human shield? No remorse. Jesus said in Matthew 24:10, "Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." I told you that 12 and 13 year old killed that man in D.C. They absolutely had no remorse. Dragged him to his death while they were stealing his car. They're going to go to juvenile detention. And then they're going to get out and they'll be back in society. And you know, they always say the first person you kill is the hardest. Then it becomes easy. Can you imagine 12 and 13 year olds that are murderers? What will they be when they're 16 and 17? Road rage, senseless killing, pent up anger. They caught that guy who killed that 6-year-old boy. But the way they caught him is because he had shot at another car and the person reported it and got his license plate number, and that's how they got him. And he did that after he knew he had killed that little boy. One of his co-workers said, "Hey, your vehicle looks like the one they're putting on TV." He hides his car, but he couldn't hide from justice. Be sure your sin will find you out. See, it's a furious generation in which we live. Verse 12, it's a filthy generation. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. I mean, pure in their own eyes, but filthy in God's. What? I didn't do anything wrong. I just raped and murdered and robbed and lied and cheated and committed incest. What did I do wrong? I'm a good person. I can hear them saying it. I'm a good person. I'm sorry. They're not good people. And they're not a good person. We're all sinners. Job said, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, 6, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Romans 3, 23 proclaims that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you'll look with me in Romans chapter 3, it describes our generation. Romans chapter number 3, it describes where we are. Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, and this is what he said concerning sinners and people without Jesus Christ, because that's where we are today. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is open sepulcher. Their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is on their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear of God before their eyes. That's why they can rob the church. It's why they can steal from the church. It's why nothing is sacred anymore. If it wasn't for the fact that our air conditioners are back behind the building, they'd be a target. Wasn't for the fact that people say, well, why is the church so bright every night? Why do you think it's so bright every night? Because light chases away darkness. You want your house to be safe? Turn on every outside light you can turn on. And let them burn. Because men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I can tell you, when we were vandalizing people's houses and terrorizing the neighborhood, the houses we stayed away from were the ones that were lit up. Because we didn't want to get caught. It's a fearless generation. Verse 13, there's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. No fear of God, no fear of authority. No fear. No fear of God before their eyes. It shows in their attitude and their actions. You look at gangs across America. MS-13. The Bloods and the Crips and the Outlaws and the Iron Horsemen and the Hell's Angels and the one percenters that we don't ever talk about. The FBI calls them one percenters because they're such vicious killers. Only God can protect you from these people because the authorities cannot. And when they're coming for you, they're coming for you. I told the city council when MS-13 was trying to come into East Ridge, I said, anywhere we know that they're at, we are going to stand in front of their house and we are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anytime they put a gang marking in East Ridge, we're going to erase it the next day. We erased their gang markings 5 times. They were over here. You got to stand up to this stuff. I told the cops, either you come or I'll go take care of it. They said, we'll be right there, and they took care of it. But they were terrorizing the neighbors in these apartments right across the street from the church. No fear of God. They were from L.A., and thank God they went back to L.A. It's where we're at in this nation. They're reckless and they react without fear. It's a fierce generation. Verse 14. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We have a generation that's addicted to murder and violence. You say, where do they get it? Video games, movies, music. Violent, bloody, based on killing. And they become addicts to it. They're addicted to technology. Now, we all have a little addiction to technology, because what happens if you leave your phone at home? You turn around no matter where you are and you go back and get it. You know the hardest thing for me to do? I said, Lord, I am addicted to technology. And I'm preaching on it, and I know I'm addicted to it. I said, I'm going to start leaving my phone on my desk. I look at all the videos. You see that little white thing in my pocket? That's my phone. Why do I need my phone during the service? I don't need my phone during the service. And I said, I'm going to leave it on my desk. Now, I was fact-checking Brother Dale this morning when he was talking about the number of Israelites and the number of Arabs. It was 256 Arabs that got killed and 11 Israelis. You know, an eye for an eye, well, it's 100 eyes for an eye with Israel. But even that was stupid. I said, Lord, I am so addicted to this thing. And we become addicted to technology. You know how I broke addiction to television and video games? For 5 years, we didn't have a TV in our house. And thank God I broke the addiction. You know how I broke the addiction? Hey, to listen to the wrong kind of music, I set everything on the right kind of music. You know how I broke video games? We got them out of our house, and I didn't go to a video game place for over 5 years. Not even. I'd walk by, and I'd turn my head the other way because I was so addicted to it. But see, we're addicted to technology today. And instead of it being a tool, it's a constant source of temptation. Technology was meant to be a tool, not a tyrant to rule over us. And there's something wrong when it gets a grip on you. I remember when we got our first computer, someone had given me a computer, and man, I was like a little kid. I'd be up all night messing with it. Then up first thing in the morning messing with it. And then messing with it all day. My dad was getting madder by the minute. And he said, I don't want that thing in my house. Because why? Because you spend all your time on it. I said, God, we got to have something better to do than that. But see, this generation's a fierce generation. They get so used to all the blood and guts and killing and gore, and they make this stuff realistic. And all this stuff people watch on TV, their shows that they watch, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me that, I mean, they can't get enough of it. You say, what's wrong with this generation? Hey, it's a cursed generation. And it's getting more cursed every day. It's a crisis generation. Have we ever lived in such a day when everybody's in crisis? Look at Matthew 24 for a minute. And look at verse number 1. Jesus Christ, he's there at the temple. His disciples are with him. And Christ is prophesying of the last days. He's prophesying of the end time. And that's why you have to pay attention to these prophecies, because we're living in them. Matthew 24, verse number 1. And Jesus went out into and departed from the temple. And the disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. That happened in 70 AD. Titus came down, destroyed the whole city, crucified everybody. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And look what it says, and the end of the world. What's the sign of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Are we not seeing all this stuff? And these are, look what it says, the beginning of sorrows. Nuclear war crisis, natural disasters. Talk about natural disasters. You said it's global warming. No, it's a sign of the end of the time. Because God's judgment is going to be a worldwide judgment on everyone. The pandemic, COVID-19, God allowed that to happen. And there's going to be something coming right after it, I promise you. They are all over the world in labs. They have every terrible disease and every terrible virus you can think of. And they're working on it to make it more deadly. It's called biological warfare. And wait till terrorists get a hold of some of that. Bioterrorism. Social unrest, rioting. We think it's bad. We better hold on to our hat because these are the beginning of sorrows. Our country's in crisis, politically, financially, morally, and socially. Our churches are in crisis, spiritually, morally, and financially. Our children in crisis, sinfully, socially, educationally, and emotionally. Can you believe we'd ever have a day when children would have an identity crisis and they don't even know if they're a boy or a girl? You got to have three bathrooms, men, women, and confused. This is where the lawsuits are coming from. Right here. There was an article written in July 11, 1977. This is what they said in Time magazine. It said, a new remorseless mutant, this is now 1977, mutant juvenile seems to have been born. It says, the whole article is a long contemporary on above. Can you imagine what they'd have to say today about today's generation of kids? They were calling them remorseless mutant juveniles in 1977. What would they call them today? I mean, this is generation lost in space if there ever was. No hope, no future, no reason, no responsibility, no drive. And it's actually worse than that. Now, here's what David Gibbs said, the founder of the Christian Law Association. He said there are three areas that have developed that lawsuits are being brought daily against churches and Christian ministries. The first one is the evangelism of children. They want to say that it's illegal to tell a child that they need to be saved. It's illegal to tell a child that Jesus loves them and wants them to go to heaven because they're lost and going to hell. And he said, I cannot believe that these lawsuits are coming by the hundreds against churches and ministries. He said, but it's coming. And they are litigating them as we speak. Against the law to give a child a gospel track. Against the law to tell, you know, sing a song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Against the law to tell a children that they're a boy or a girl. Against the law. The federal government is taking the stance that every child as young as 4 and 5 years old must decide for themselves if they're a boy or a girl. And if you tell them otherwise, you're breaking the law. this new curriculum they got in the schools? Now, they banned it in Tennessee and they banned it in Georgia, this critical race theory and all this kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it's not banned in all them other places. And the lawsuits are coming. And then this transgender thing. With discrimination. Someone comes in and it's a man dressed like a woman. Oh, you tell them they can't use the woman's bathroom, you're discriminating. And right there, you got a lawsuit. Are we not in crisis in this generation? That's why in all the stores, they're going to have all the bathrooms before it's through are going to be, you know, whatever. They're going to have to be single bathrooms. Family bathrooms. That's the only place you're going to be safe. Because you don't know what's going to go in either one of them bathrooms. Could you believe that those would be the number 1, 2, and 3 lawsuits against churches in America today? You talk about a crisis generation where you don't know what your biological sex is. How in the world did we get there? How in the world did that happen to this nation? It's a Christless generation. Deuteronomy 32 says this, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see their end, what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation in whom is no faith. I've told you, 60% of kids have never been to Sunday school. Never been to Sunday school. 80% of teens don't attend church at all. At all. And 12 churches close every week. You say, Chris, that's, Brother Chris, that's no big guy. That's no big deal. Remember when there were drive-ins all over the place? And it was 5 a week closed, 10 a week closed, and then it was 50 a week closed, and then it was 100 a week closed. And now there's only one drive-in in our entire area. And it's down there. Forget where that place is called. It's 30, 40 minutes from here. In a 3-state area, it's the only drive-in. What's going to happen when there's no churches? You say, Brother Chris, that'll never happen. It's happened in Oregon. It's happened in Washington. I mean, it's happened all over the West. There are no churches. The closest church to you might be an hour away. In Indiana, some of the closest, to find a church, you might have to drive an hour and a half to go to church. TV ain't the same. I guarantee you, TV ain't the same. And since these kids don't know Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, what are they going to become? Godless robots for the devil. Now, who to blame? Parents that won't take their kids to church and Sunday school? How many Christian people, this is the Bible Belt for God's sake. How many Christian people are at home sitting this morning with their kids instead of being in church? And one day they'll decry and say, what happened? What happened? Where's the churches? Grandparents that won't take their kids to church and Sunday school. And these kids grow up without Christian love or the knowledge of Christ. But they know Harry Potter. They've read every Harry Potter book there is, but they've never read a Bible. They know all the things in Grand Theft Auto. But they couldn't tell someone how to become a Christian if their life depended on it. Oh, they know the Vampire Diaries and Fortnite and YouTube and TikTok and every other wicked thing you can think of. Name me the Ten Commandments. Give me the books of the Bible in order. Tell me the miracles of Jesus. See, it's an evil, unattached generation without natural affection. That's where we're at. A Christless generation. The Bible Belt is becoming Christless. A cursed generation that's in crisis and Christless. I don't want that to be me. And I sure don't want that to be my family. You say, what's the answer? What's the answer? Well, we know preaching is the answer. Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 14. Romans 10 and verse number 14. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, how shall they believe in whom they have not, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, have believed our report. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, what's the answer? Involvement with this generation. Evangelization of this generation. And enthusiasm with the things of Christ concerning this generation. You see, we need Vacation Bible School. Right now, we're the only bus going into Village Green. The only bus going in there. The pandemic closed all the bus ministries. And most people figured out that they don't want to do it anymore. Sunday school. The pandemic really wiped out Sunday schools. King's Kids. You say, why do we need these things? So there'll be some evangelization. These kids need to know Christ as their Savior, because they're going to grow up and be in control of the world. They're going to grow up and make decisions for you and I. And you don't want a bunch of people that are devils and Christless making your decisions for your life. Pass out tracts and be a witness for Jesus Christ. Is there a need this morning? Oh, my soul, there's a need. Because we're living in this generation. A godless, perverse, Christless generation. And the only hope for the generation of Proverbs chapter number 30 is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. The gospel is just as powerful today as it was the day Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again the third day. You say, what's the problem? The silencing of the gospel. If we don't share our faith and propagate our faith, I promise you, Islam will, Hinduism will, godless practices of the worldly, they will. And they're not going to be so gracious as the Christian is. They're going to force it upon us. And if you don't agree, you will go to jail. Or, one day, be put to death. You say, Brother Chris, I'm old and I'm not going to see it. Don't worry. Your kids and grandkids are. They will. They are going to live it. And they're going to be called upon to stand as it gets very dark and very dangerous. Oh, we better say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because we are living in the last days. And if we don't do something about our immediate situation, they're going to be knocking on our door. And we're going to receive a letter in the mail, and it's going to be for some lawyer telling us that we cannot have a bus ministry. We cannot have children's Sunday school. We cannot preach to children. And there's going to be some half man, half woman standing there with a video camera telling us that you can't discriminate against me. Because it's already happening. Call up Dr. David Gibbs and ask him. God help the business owners. God help the churches. God help those people that, I mean, he said that right now, companies, if you go to a church where you don't agree with this critical race thing, or this Black Lives Matter, or all this other stuff that's happening, they will fire you from your job if you even go to a church where they believe that. If you teach your children against that in your home and they find out, if you put anything on social media, we're living in the last days. Oh, we better get serious about this thing called Christianity. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We all better be taking that attitude. Let's stand for prayer. I hope you know the Lord is your personal Savior this morning. I'd hate to be one of those cursed children. I'd hate to be one of those that are cursed in this generation, with no fear of God and no faith in God whatsoever. You say, what's the great tribulation about? It's about God leaving this generation alone for 7 years and to leave them to their own devices with the devil. Oh, I'd want to make my calling and election sure. I'd want to be certain that I'm a child of God and ready to go to heaven. Because God's judgment, it is coming. And it's going to be here sooner than any of us can imagine. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. Pray the Holy Ghost would speak to hearts. And God, we don't want to be cursed children. We don't want to be a generation that's, Lord, pure in our own eyes and not washed from our filthiness. We don't want to be a generation, God, that is fierce and angry and hateful. And God, we don't want to be that description that was given there in those four verses about the generation of the last days. Disrespectful and unthankful and unholy. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak to all of our hearts. And God, we'd be careful when it comes to our Christianity. And God, that you give us a heart and a love for souls of men and women. And not to hate those who are without Christ, but to pray for them and to love them and to tell them their need of a Savior. God, help our nation. God, help our President, Joe Biden, our Vice President, Kamala Harris. God, help, Lord, those that are in authority over this nation, the Department of Justice with Merrick Garland. And God, you know they're going after churches and they're going after Christian ministries and they're going after, oh Lord, people of faith. God, I just pray that you'd be with our nation. And God, that you'd hold back the tide of evil. Lord, the tide that's coming. Lord, we're looking for you to come. We're listening for the shout. Help us to be laboring in the field. God, we're having vacation Bible school. Help us to love these kids and to show them a better and a living way. And help us to practice our Christianity on a daily basis. God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. The Holy